Appreciate it.
Oh, it goes that way. All right. Amen. We got power. Praise the Lord. So how's everybody this morning? Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I love the fall. One of my favorite times of the year. And but I tell you why I really like fall. Because it's missions conference time. Many of our supporting churches all across the U.S. hold their missions conferences during the months of October and November, and makes it really hard for a missionary to get to all those conferences, but thankfully I'm able to get on some of those, and I understand this is your missions month, and you know that it is just a blessing to be able to be here with you this morning. I want to start off by just saying thank you for the years of faithful support. It started many, many years ago. In fact, when we were here the first time during a missions conference, I believe it was in 2000, year 2000, and our children, which are grown and have their own families now, were about this tall. So it's been many, many years that we have partnered together, and he, you know, your pastor mentioned about my faithfulness, but you all have been faithful too. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, from our ministry to our family, for the years of partnership and financial support in the ministry in Albania and now the regions beyond. And so here in just a couple minutes, we'll introduce the video, let you see what the Lord has been doing over the course of these last few years. I'm just thankful for all that God is doing. Amen. It's not about anything about me or any people that are working with us. It's about Him. Amen. And so we give Him the credit and the honor and the glory. So we're going to go ahead and do the video at this time, and then I'll come back. Okay.
Albania is located in southeastern Europe, just north of Greece, along the Adriatic Sea. It is a mountainous country rich in cultural history as well as natural resources and beauty. Albania, along with many Balkan countries, claim Islam as its main religion. It is a country forgotten by most of the world and shrouded in mystery. Walled cities and castles point to an earlier time of conflict with invading forces and kings. Roman amphitheaters and archaeological ruins portray a picture of the cultural heritage of the Illyrian people known today as the Albanians. For centuries, Albanians lived by the ancient codes of blood feuds, vendettas, and arranged marriages. They were also controlled by 50 years of communism, a cruel dictatorship that stripped the people of their rights and stamped out all religious freedom, enforcing atheism as state law. Today, Albania is free but still recovering from the scars of its oppressive past. As Albania faces its future, the people are desperate for real change, with a desire to experience what other Western countries already have and enjoy: dependable power and water, jobs, better schools and hospitals, and less corruption. But who will help them with the spiritual change they need in finding the true God? Paul told the Corinthians, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." We are the Druss family, church planting missionaries since 2001, sent by First Baptist Church in Ranson, West Virginia, under the leadership of Pastor Mike Witham. During our first term, we helped to begin the Gospelite Baptist Church in the village of Shkoz, which is now under national leadership. In 2005, we began New Life Baptist Church. There we had the joy of leading, discipling, and baptizing new converts. In 2012, we began a team mission effort to start holding adult and youth church services in a Muslim community located in northeast Tirana. Our desire is to teach new converts to become active, obedient servants of Christ. This is key to spiritual growth in the lives of new believers as well as growing the church. The youth are the future generation of the church. Much effort is made to reach children and teens. In addition to regular meetings, we conduct summer neighborhood VBS programs as well as children Bible clubs and English classes. The Apostle Paul was burdened for the unreached Jewish people. He said in Romans 10 verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Imagine entire people groups and countries without the printed word of God. Imagine a life without the hope or freedom that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the reality of much of the Balkans and the Middle East. For this reason, we are actively involved in training nationals for missionary work. In addition to training and fundraising, God has also given us the opportunity to send Albanian missionaries to a number of least reached countries.
Albanians are uniquely gifted to reach people in the Middle East because they have same life, they share the same life, and also they have the same culture and same religion.
The desire in my heart to go and to share the gospel to the ones that have never heard.
Eastern Europe is a strategic corridor because without it, the refugees would not have a way into Western Europe. It's not every day that the Muslim world comes to our doorstep to give the church an opportunity to show them the love of Christ. We need to meet them where they are and reach them on their journey as they are moving to wherever they are going in Europe. Of course, we need to bring aid, food, blankets, and medical assistance. But most importantly, our mandate of the church is the Great Commission, the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
But many people pray about Muslim country and they say, Lord, give to our chance to us to preach to them. Now we have a chance. So this is our mission, bring to them AIDS and also gospel.
Bomb every day, 15, 20, 25. Another day, 100 bombs. 100 bombs in Damascus. Behind my house, 10 meters behind my house.
We've had the opportunity to give literally thousands of micro SD cards with the Word of God and what we have identified as the six main languages of the refugees. We have uploaded audio and video materials that will help them understand the gospel message. So this has been a great opportunity to show these people mercy, compassion, and the love of Christ. But most importantly, we have the words of life. We are the bearers of that word, and we are the ones who are carrying that light to the nations. We need to be bold in our witness and to take this gospel message of life and of hope to these people in such desperate need. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus commissioned his disciples to take the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth and make disciples of all nations. That same responsibility has been passed on to all of us. The task is great and the challenge is many, but it is God's desire that we finish the job. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. If you do not currently support our ministry, please prayerfully consider partnering with us in the near future. It would be an honor to be your representatives in Albania and the regions beyond.
All right. Well, it gives you just a glimpse. I wish I could show you so many more pictures and video clips of all that God is doing in the hearts and lives of the Muslim people throughout the Middle East, in Albania, Eastern Europe. And you all have had a part in that, and we're so very thankful for that. People ask me all the time, do you have a family? Because they don't travel very often with me. My daughter's in a Christian school. We still have one in the nest, amen, one in the nest. She'll be driving this year. Please pray for me. We made it through the first two. We can get through this one. I keep telling them I'm a little bit older this time. Less patience, but anyway, pray for me. But she is the star setter on the volleyball varsity team. So she's traveling and is very busy and but is doing very well in the school where God has her, and so we're excited for her. So they're back in West Virginia, almost heaven, amen. Don't believe that. I grew up there, but so I can say don't believe that. But anyway, it's a great place to live. And we live in a really, really pretty historical area, the historical side of West Virginia in the Eastern Panhandle, which used to be a part of Virginia until Virginia lost part of the war there, the Civil War, and they annexed that part of Virginia to West Virginia, which fought on the other side. But we live in a very beautiful area, and so if you ever get a chance to come by through there, just come on through and you'll enjoy it. Harper's Ferry of West Virginia, and some beautiful tourist historical areas there. So we do have our youngest at home. We have two grown children. We have three grandchildren now. When I was here the last time, we had no grandchildren. So we now have three and counting, praise the Lord. Hey, this grandparent thing is fun. I like it. You get to spoil those kids and say, okay, here you go. In fact, yesterday we had both of our grandchildren that live in the West Virginia area with us, and I got to fill him up full of candy and cookies and, you know, get him all, you know, and said, okay, here, Mom, there you go, enjoy. We had a great time. But anyway, really enjoying the grandparent thing. And the only drawback to it is that our oldest son, his family, they live in Los Angeles. So we got to get on a plane and fly out there a couple times a year and see them. And I drove the trip once, and I thought, I don't think I want to do that again. But it's worth it. It's worth the money. It's worth going out there and seeing them. Wouldn't give you a plug nickel for Los Angeles, but that's where God has them. And if you're from there, I'm sorry, but it's just a crazy place. But anyway, although I heard that New Jersey is the most stressful state to live in. Is that true? I don't feel stressed out. I thought it was fine. I got to the hotel, slept, got plenty of rest, no noises around me, and don't feel stressed. But anyway, although, brother, if you would, I need a little bit of water. Is there some here? It's all taken. So if somebody can set up a little bit of water. I took a tablet this morning, one of those all-day things that kind of keep you dried up. Been fighting the weather, because you go from cold to warm, and now it's back in the 80s again. I was back in Ohio. It was, a high of 45 or 50. And so I'm really dry, and when I blink, it makes a scratching noise. So that's not good, I don't think. So water would be great. Thank you, brother. All right. So let's get into the message this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Now, before you roll your eyes and say, oh, brother, another missionary, here we go, Matthew 28. We're only going to touch on that this morning, but get in your Bibles there to that place. Oh, also, as you're turning your Bibles, make sure that you get by the display table. I'm right outside these doors, a little table there, and we do have new prayer cards available. Please get those prayer cards. Pray for us. It's got all of our information on there. If you have any questions, I'll be at the table after the service after the service this morning, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. I pray that you will do that. So, this morning I have to tell you that God has allowed me to do some wonderful things in my life. One of the things that He's allowed me to do as a missionary, of course, is to travel, and God has expanded our ministry now into a number of countries, and we're very thankful for what God is doing in places like Iraq and Tunisia and Kosovo. Kosovo is a Muslim stronghold, 90% Muslim there. The country of Macedonia, not the Macedonia that we read about in the Bible, but a very, very different, complex country, the country of Macedonia and other areas around the Middle East. And so God has blessed me to be able to travel and to be involved in and in helping to train and send nationals to these places and oversee the training and the mentoring work and also the sending part of that ministry. But God has allowed me to do some pretty exciting things. I think one of the most exciting times in my life was being able to travel to the land of Israel. And, for most people, they would think, oh, well, it's a bunch of museums and it's a desert and it's hot. But when I read my Bible, I live my Bible. And if you ever have an opportunity to go, you ought to go. But I remember the first time I went there. What an amazing experience. Another exciting time was piloting an airplane for the first time. And then after that, taking lessons. And then finally taking that little Cessna 172 and on a solo flight. And finally nailing that landing. Oh, boy, that was scary. You know, it's easy to take off. Any of you pilots here, is there a pilot? You know, it's easy to take off. But boy, I tell you, landing, when you're learning how to do that, that's very scary. But that was exciting, an exciting time for me. I remember the first time I ever parasailed. Boy, now that's an exhilarating experience, flying way up in the air with a couple little strings holding you up, you know, about 1,500 feet in the air. But pretty exciting, pretty exhilarating experience. But I have to say that my wife is a little bit braver than I am. She actually wants to go skydiving. Can you imagine? I told her, I don't mind piloting an airplane, but I don't necessarily want to see myself jumping out of one, okay? I'd rather be in it where there's a little bit of metal around me. And you know those little planes, they're not much metal, but at least there's metal. Well, anyway, the truth is that there have been many exciting things that God has allowed me to experience in my life over the years. But I have to tell you that there's nothing more exciting, nothing more exhilarating, nothing more thrilling than leading a person to Christ as a believer. There's nothing more exciting than seeing God work in the hearts of people and seeing them come to know Christ as their personal Savior. There's nothing more exciting to me than being a part of the Great Commission. To me, that is exhilarating. It's exhilarating to watch a Muslim bow his head and pray and accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Amen? It's exciting. So this morning I want to speak to you on the topic of why we should be involved in the Great Commission. But before we get into the message this morning, folks, I want you to ask yourself this question, okay? Ask yourself this question and be serious about it. Do I want to be a part of the Great Commission? Now, this is Missions Conference Month. We're talking about reaching out, reaching others, reaching the world for Christ. And that, of course, that encompasses the Great Commission. But do you want to be a part of the Great Commission? Now, having said that, allow me to share just a couple of thoughts this morning. Number one, the Great Commission starts at home. It starts at home. I remember many years ago as a businessman, I was just considering taking a missions trip, and I took the missions trip to Albania for the first time, and God began to work in my heart. But you know, one thing that God convicted me of is that God convicted me at the point where, look, Mike, I'm never going to use you as a missionary unless you do what needs to be done here at home first. And God spoke to my heart about that. And I thought, well, what can I do? Get involved in the bus ministry. Get involved in the soul winning outreach program. Get involved in visitation. Get involved in the nursing home ministry. Get involved teaching the Sunday school class. Get involved in the ministry of your local church. And then maybe God may use you in other areas of the world. If you can't do it at home, then don't even think about doing it 6,000 miles away. So the Great Commission starts at home. It starts in your Jerusalem, and then it expands to the regions beyond. We nailed down that foundation in Albania when we began to train and start sending nationals. We began at home, and then we began to send to the regions beyond. The second thing is complacency is what the devil uses to destroy you spiritually, which then will kill off the church. The devil loves complacency in the church. He loves it because he knows that if he can get you complacent at heart, then the church is going to suffer. The ministry is going to suffer. The outreach program of the church will suffer. As we go into the message today, please consider my initial question. Do I want, not do I have to be, we know we have to be, but do you want to be a part of the Great Commission? Apply these thoughts, if you will. Now let's open in a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for these wonderful people and for this great church, Lord, that has partnered with us faithfully, supported us faithfully all of these years. And Lord, I don't take that lightly. Thank you so much for that. And Father, I pray that you'd continue to bless the ministry of Ocean County Baptist Church and bless the outreach program of this church. Father, bless the pastor as he leads. Bless the youth pastor as he works with the young people. Now, Father, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that they would get that settled this morning before they leave this place. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you might be thinking, well, Brother Drust, isn't this commission to go, this command to go, this idea of the Great Commission, isn't it given specifically to missionaries and of course, to pastors and evangelists? Well, many years ago, I had a woman, I was at my table in the back of a church, and I had a woman rush right back there. And I thought, uh-oh, I might have said something that offended her, or, you know, maybe she's upset. I could tell she was upset. And she began to talk to me about this matter of the Great Commission and how she thought she really didn't need to be a part of that, and that's why we pay you missionaries to do that. That's why I give money to do that. And I began to talk to her, and as she calmed down, she said, well, Brother Dress, don't you have to be called to be involved in the Great Commission? And I said, why, yes, ma'am, you do. And the truth is that every single one of us as believers in Christ are called to be involved in the Great Commission. Not only are we called, but we are commanded to be involved in the Great Commission. Well, honestly, she looked pretty shocked. She said, well, maybe you got something there, but I'll have to think about that. And I said, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, go back and read the Great Commission. And think about what Jesus says there. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're a little shocked. Well, let's actually have a look at the Great Commission. Now, you're there in Matthew chapter 28 this morning. And in order to touch on it, we need to unpack that a little bit, okay? So let's look at it. Let's break it down to bare nuts and bolts. Bare nuts and bolts. The simplicity of the Great Commission. Number one, the Great Commission is about the power of the gospel. That's it in a nutshell. It's about the power of the gospel. Do you believe in the power of the gospel this morning? I'll tell you what, I believe it because I have seen God change hardened atheistic hearts. I have seen God change a religious Muslim to faith in Jesus Christ. I've seen it happen. It's still happening. It's ongoing. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, if you will. Romans chapter 1. And I love Romans. Romans is a challenging book. It's a complicated book. It's an exciting book. But if you want all of those aspects, go to Romans. But in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, when you look at that verse, and I looked at it the other morning, I thought, there's got to be a little bit more to this. So I thought, well, why did I not ever make this connection? And I jumped up to verse number 14, and look at that, if you will. Paul says what? "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians," not just the Americans. And by the way, we need good churches in America. We need church planters in America. Churches are closing by the dozens every single month. Churches are closing. We need church planters. We need missionaries in America, in the United States of America. As a missionary 20 years ago, I would have never dreamed that I'd be saying that today. But I believe that we are fast becoming a vast mission field, that we need church planting missionaries to go throughout our country. But Paul says, "I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Verse number 15. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Not just the Jews, not just Israel, not just Jerusalem, but in Rome also and beyond to the regions beyond. The Great Commission is about cross-culturally reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the cross-cultural part of that starts right here in this community, and then it far reaches out from there. You see, the gospel is colorblind, amen? It is no respecter of persons. Amen. It knows not whether you are rich or poor. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Because this poor missionary, if I were trying to pay my way in, I couldn't do it. For the successful or the common. You see, it doesn't see a person's age. It's been given for every race, every creed, and color, no matter the culture or the country. Now listen, folks, the gospel is so powerful. It's amazing. It's convicting, it's moving, it's changing, and it is transforming. Now, you remember back to the day when you were transformed. Wow, did I need that? Did I need that transformation process? Did you need that transformation process? Boy, brother, I did. The Great Commission is all about the power of the gospel. That's the first nut or in bolt. All right, the second one is the Great Commission is about the moving of the heart. It's about the moving of your heart. I've always said that missions conferences time or missions week or month or whatever it is that you have, God begins to do a work. It's not about the money. See, God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything that we have, but He wants it. He wants us. He commands us. Why? Because He knows what's best for us. So I've always said that missions conferences is not about money. You see, it's really about the heart. Turn with me to Romans. You're already there. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. And I love this passage of Scripture because it reveals the heart of the Apostle Paul. Verse number 1 there of chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Great Commission is about the moving of the heart. God was moving Paul's heart for His people. My heart, your heart, where are you at this morning? We find this wonderful example here in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And we don't have time to go into all the verses there, but it's an amazing passage of Scripture. Read it when you have the time. So the Great Commission is about the moving of your heart. And by the way, if God gets a hold of your heart, He'll have no problem with this. If He has your heart, He'll have no problem with you kind of prying that open. Oh, heaven forbid. Prying that open. Well, all I've got is receipts in there, but a little bit of money. But pry open this thing once in a while, okay? Ladies with your pocketbook, open that purse. Okay. See, if God has your heart, He'll have your wallet. Men, He'll have your pocketbook, ladies. Is that what they call it? Pocketbook? Purse? Whatever. Okay. Okay, so it's about the heart. And all the rest of the things will fall in line. See, God, you know, when I first went to Albania, I couldn't understand why God wouldn't use me. I didn't understand it. I thought, well, didn't I do the right thing? I took a missions trip. Do I feel called? Yeah, I felt called, but there was nothing there. Why? Because God didn't have my heart. You know, and I, as I said earlier, I wasn't involved in the Great Commission process of my home church. And it wasn't until I got plugged in and began to have a heart for people. God began to use people in my life. Listen, you're never going to learn it when you're sitting behind a desk or in your living room couch. You're never going to learn it. You got to get out there and experience with people. It's about the people. The Great Commission, number 3, is about obedience. And we know that. We know these things. It's just a reminder, nuts and bolts reminder here. The Great Commission is about obedience. And you can find that in the Great Commission itself, verse number 19. The Bible is specific in its command to go. But the big question is, are you willing to be obedient to Christ's command? So the mandate has been given to be involved in this great plan to evangelize the world. So why should we take this matter so seriously? Well, I think there are several reasons. Number one, because judgment is inevitable. Judgment's coming. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Let me get a drink of water. My eyes are scratching again. Boy, that tastes good. All right, Romans chapter 20, verse number 11. And the Bible says, I saw a great white throne, and in him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That sounds like a judgment to me. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Listen, folks, it's important for us to understand that a great judgment is coming. If you are lost this morning, let me help you to understand. If you're lost and you're without Christ this morning, understand that there's a God that loves you. There's a God that sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you, to take upon the sins of my sins and your sins and the sins of the entire world. He loves you. He wants to save you this morning. And guess what? We don't have to pay anything for it. Isn't that wonderful? In the world in which we live, all the taxes that we have to pay and everything that we have to pay out and the tollways and all these things. Oh, brother, the tollways. But anyway, don't even get me started on that this morning. But listen, isn't it wonderful to know that we've got the free gift of salvation? If you're here this morning and you're lost, understand all you have to do in order to receive that free gift is reach out and take it. So if you're lost without Christ today, then it's important for you to understand that one day, if you die without Christ, your refusal to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you will stand before God and you will be judged. If you're a born-again believer in Christ this morning, it's important for you to understand that one day your loved ones, your friends and your neighbors and those people perhaps that you work with in the next cubicle that you failed to even give a small gospel witness or an invite to church, these people that are not saved, those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will face judgment. And let me tell you, folks, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a terrible time for us to stand by and watch those that we love be judged and then be condemned to hell forever and ever. But it's going to be absolutely horrifying for those who are non-believers. Why should we be involved in the Great Commission? Because, folks, there is a terrible judgment coming. And what have you done to warn those that are lost? Number two, why should you be involved in the Great Commission? Because hell is so awful. Look here in chapter 20, verse number 14, 15. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You want to understand what the Great Commission is about? It's about this right here. It's about people that if we don't warn them are going to die and go to hell. You know, when I was a young man, and I had the great privilege of growing up in a Christian home and growing up under great men of God like Dr. John R. Rice, Dr. Lester Roloff. In fact, I remember where I was exactly when we got the news that Lester Roloff's plane crashed. I remember that. I was working for Evangelist Joe Boyd at the time and was in his office, and we got the news that morning. Dr. Boyd and Lester Roloff were good friends. In fact, they had flown in that plane many, many times together, scared Dr. Boyd half to death. But because he would put it on autopilot, you know, and he'd be drinking his carrot juice, you know. If you remember anything about Lester Roloff, he loved carrot juice and, you know, the squeezed juices and fruits and all that anyway. But I grew up under men like that. I remember sitting in the gospel tent, okay? You remember gospel tents? Okay. Those are still out there, by the way. I have a couple of evangelist friends that are still doing that type of ministry. Just amazing. Amazing men. I love it. There's nothing like sitting under the gospel tent, open air, you know, especially in the cool of the fall when that air kind of, you know, blows in there, gives you a cool, refreshing air there. But anyway, I remember sitting in those gospel tents under those men and watching them preach and preaching salvation messages and also messages on hell. And when the invitation time came, the altars were full with people. And I remember as a young man sitting right about where that young man is sitting right there, and watching people weeping and crying and praying and begging God to save their lost loved ones and friends and neighbors. When was the last time, I have to ask myself the question, when was the last time have any of us really wept for the lost, wept for our lost loved ones? One of the clearest examples, and we don't have time to go there this morning, but one of the clearest examples of hell being a real place, by the way, it's not a fairy tale, it's not some far-off distant place. Now, it is a real place where millions upon millions upon millions of people have died and are now spending eternity in hell. But that's found in Luke chapter 16. True story. Why should we be involved in the Great Commission? Because, folks, there's a terrible and horrible place called hell. We need to get a hold of that. We need to understand that when we think about world evangelization, when we think about this matter of the Great Commission, we need to wrap our head around the primary reason why we do what we do is to warn people, hey, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and you're going to go to a hell. A real place called hell. I remember my dad growing up watching my dad. My dad just passed away a few weeks ago. And I remember, boy, I tell you what, he was a gospel witness. He loved God and witnessed everybody. When I was cleaning out his apartment a few weeks ago, and I can't tell you how, I lost count how many people came up to me or I met in the elevator and they said to me, your dad was a wonderful man. Your dad was always talking about this man, Jesus. He was always inviting me to church. My dad's legacy lived on in that apartment building and around that area. That was his Jerusalem. What is your Jerusalem this morning? There's a terrible place that these people are going to. My dad understood that. I understand that. Although I have to be reminded quite often, sad to say, Mike, you're not doing enough. Mike, you're not witnessing enough. Mike, you're not saying enough. You're not spending enough money on missions. You're not doing enough. We just finished our missions conference, 7-day conference. Long week, but great week. And God challenged me, Mike, you know, how much are you going to give? You need to give more. I can't afford it. You need to give more. You can't afford not to. You know, so what do? Okay, well, I move the bar a little bit farther. You know, now, you know, after all these years of giving to Faith Promise Missions, the bar has gone way past my tithe in what I give in missions. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that that's what God has done. I couldn't do it without Him. Why should we be involved in the Great Commission? Because people are so valuable. Do you believe that? Do you believe that people are valuable this morning? We live in a culture, we live in a day and age where babies are being murdered. Terrible, horrible things are happening. The quality of life in the south side of Chicago, and I'm very familiar with that. I grew up, I lived in Rockford, Illinois, which is far out of the Chicago area. But I remember many, many years ago going in and out of that area, and you know, hundreds of people year to date have been killed in that city. The value of life has been depreciated. But understand that people are valuable. Turn, if you will, to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll be done with this. Let's see here. Let's look here at verse number 9. Yes, verse number 9. And the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Wasn't that wonderful to know that God is not slack concerning His promise? How many times through the years have you had promises broken to you? I've had many, many promises broken to me over the years by people that I trusted, people that I knew, family members, friends. But God doesn't break His promise. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to challenge you this morning to think about those people in your life that you're closest to, your parents, maybe your children, grandchildren, perhaps a coworker or a neighborhood. Now, I want you to do this for me this morning. I want you to just take a minute and close your eyes. Everybody, just take a minute and close your eyes. And I want you to think about those people. I want you to picture them in your mind. These are lost people. Think about those people closest to you that are without Christ this morning. Do you have their names? Do you see their faces? Now open your eyes. Determine their value to you. Are they valuable enough for you to share the gospel with them? You know, Jesus said he is not slack concerning his promise. He's not slack concerning the lost. He's not willing that any should perish. What about you? Are you slack concerning the lost this morning? Because if you're slack concerning the lost in your Jerusalem, in your neighborhood, in your office place, in your school, where God has you, where God has placed you, then don't worry about what's going on 6,000 miles across the globe. See, when I started first learning about missions, I thought it was all about money. And it was all about, you know, sending money. So those poor Africans, they need it. So we'll just send it. And God will send some person to go over there and take it and help them. And, you know, I was so skewed. And so, I mean, it was just totally ridiculous, my thoughts and my ideas on missions. And through the years, God grounded me. And God help me to realize and understand what this is about. That, look, I want to use you now in the place where you are. Why? Because people are so valuable. I found that out when I worked in the bus ministry. Boy, talk about heartbreaking. The inner city of Cleveland, Ohio. Can you imagine? Now, let's go back to the question I asked earlier. Do you want to be a part of the Great Commission? Because having to be a part and wanting to be a part are two totally different things. Listen, folks, I want to be a part of this great plan. Don't you? Why do I want to be a part? Because there's an urgency to tell folks about what is coming and what they're about to face, and that one day they'll stand before God. And we need to warn them. So why should we be involved in the Great Commission? Let's wrap this up this morning. Well, because there's a judgment day coming. Now, none of us like judgment. I think I've only had to stand before a judge one time. That's because I was speeding. And it was in one of these small towns, you know. And many years ago. Not since I've been a missionary. although I press it to the limit when it comes to traveling, trying to get from place to place. But, just because you haven't been caught doesn't mean that you're not guilty, right? Anyway, there's a judgment day coming, and none of us want to be judged. We don't like to think about that, but God is going to judge us. The Bible says the books will be open, and there'll be no running from the books. There'll be no hiding. There'll be no, you know, getting in the SUV and heading down the road. No, you're there. You're stuck. That's it. That's the end of the road. Number two, because hell is so awful. And number three, because people are so valuable. And then I have a fourth one on here we don't have time to go to, but because heaven is so wonderful. And boy, won't it be wonderful. And it's great that God, I heard somebody say one time, I was witnessing to them saying, oh, God, he's just a big, awful man sitting up there judging everybody. I said, but you don't understand his promises. You don't understand what he's offering to give you for free. You don't even have to work for it. You just have to reach out and take that wonderful gift that he's offering you. And so if you're here this morning, understand that's all you need to do. accept him as the Lord of your life, ask him to forgive your sins, and come into your heart and to save you and take you to heaven when you die. Heaven is wonderful. We want people to go there. We need to warn them. So, Krishna, I hope that this has been a challenge this morning. When I was studying this message last night, I thought, Lord, boy, this has really hit me right between the eyes tonight. And as the missions conference continues, perhaps you need to come and commit your life to the Great Commission. Perhaps some of you just need to come and just bring forth the names that came to your mind when your eyes were closed and pray for those dear people. Perhaps you need to come. Perhaps you need to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, maybe you're here this morning and God's calling you. You know, not only have you been busy about the Lord's business here, but God's calling you. And you know it. God's been speaking to your heart over the course of these weeks. And you feel God tugging at your heart. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I'm not sure where I need to go or where you want me to go, but I'm willing. Remember, missions conference is about the heart. God gets your heart, He'll get your money. If God gets your heart, He'll get your willingness. He'll get your desires. He'll use you for his will. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, thank you this morning for your word. Lord, thank you for your love, for your grace. Lord, thank you for your salvation. Lord, and I do pray for these that are here this morning. Maybe some just need to come, Lord, because they've been challenged. Lord, maybe they need to come and just open their heart and their life to you, to surrender their life to you. Maybe some need to come this morning and pray for those lost loved ones, friends, family, whoever God has laid on their hearts, Lord. And Father, I do pray that your will and your way will be done in hearts and lives this morning, in Jesus' name, amen.